At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to the MMQB NFL podcast. I'm Connor Rohr. Albert Breer is here, and we are both painfully late on an assignment that we were supposed to turn in. Well, it's due. It says end of day, Monday, August 26th.
What does that
mean? Recording this Monday 26th. Like, what is end of day? You know, we're sports writers. End of day to me is 11:59.
Yeah,
you know, I work deep into the night, but.
Because technically that would be the end of August the 26th, would be at 11:59 p.m.
End of day.
And then
day.
At midnight it becomes August 27th.
27th.
So, yeah.
That's my take on it anyway. But we are turning in our official season previews. So we're talking about award winners, division winners. And so we figured, you know, while we're thinking about it, we're already late enough that, like, it's like a Tom Coughlin thing where it hasn't been turned in now, and since it hasn't been turned in early, it's late kind of thing, you know?
Yep.
And so
yep.
We're going to workshop that with you today, and we're going to make our way through, try to find some consensus here on who we really like after training camp, seeing a bunch of these teams, talking to a bunch of people. But I wanted to start...
And I think the other thing that's important, too, is just giving people like a real window into how much work we put into our predictions. So when they come yelling at us in December about how we were wrong about everything, they got a real look at how the sausage is made.
Hey, speak for yourself. I just picked all 272 games. We're going to talk about that next week. But I purposely did not tell Albert this pre-show, but I have a question for him before we start, and it's not related to what we're doing, but I need to seek the advice of the closest thing I have to a boomer in my life. And so I wanted to ask Albert this. So I got into a rumble at Costco the other day, and
a rumble,
verbal rumble.
Black Friday rumble over like over like the last TV.
It's no,
like on sale.
No, but my neighbor at the same Costco got a man rammed him with his cart, physically assaulted him with his shopping cart.
Wow.
And at Costco, they're like, big carts.
Is there a reason why there's all this acrimony at this particular Costco?
My particular thought is that Costco is it's a store with narrow aisles and big carts. And so I think that creates a lot of like that gerbil in a cage feeling for people. So anyway, there's this massive werewolf there that they're selling for Halloween, right? And the werewolf is animatronic and it pops out and it makes this, it's 7 feet tall, right? So I have a 3-year-old and we were shopping together and the werewolf pops out, scares the daylights out of him. And a woman comes up from behind me and goes, "Would you please tell him to stop?" And she's boomer. I know she's an older boomer, a little bit older of a boomer than you. You're not really a boomer, but you know you're riding that sweet spot.
I think my dad is like a baby boomer, which is like my dad's generation.
Yeah, this lady was probably like younger than your dad, but older than you. Like if you and this lady were married, it wouldn't be weird, but it would be almost to the point where I'd be like, you know, the age gap is a little distracting, but not like overly distracting. And so she said, you need to tell him to stop screaming because it's bothering me. And so I went through we went back and forth. I said my piece, she said her piece, and we rolled out. But is this what's going to happen when I'm older? Like, am I just going to do stuff like this? Do you feel the need to do this at Costco?
Given our massive age gap, I think I can probably give you some perspective here. I would say the older you get, and I don't think this is like groundbreaking. The older like you get, the more easily annoyed you are.
Okay.
And little inconvenience is like my life as I've gotten older has like legitimately become more about my own convenience and things not being a pain in the ass. So if you start to prioritize that as you get older, when other people get in the way of that, you are going to get more and more annoyed. Okay. Does that make sense?
So you could see yourself in not the near future, but let's say in the next 10 years, yelling at a 3-year-old for being scared at a grocery store.
I mean,
it's in the cards. Possibly.
I mean, I don't want to rule anything out. Like, I don't know what I'm going to be like in, 8 years, you said? Yeah, I don't know.
All right.
No promises.
All right. Okay. No promises. You know what, though? That's good. That's me understanding the world, because I don't want to be there in 10 years and then be like, gosh, all the horrible things I said to this lady, you know, and it turns out we all kind of think that, you know?
Yep.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. You should, like, I always feel like people, like the people older than me are, like, I have to see how I've changed over the years and then project that forward a few years to try to understand where they're coming from.
I've noticed it, like, sneaking in.
But don't you find yourself getting more irritable, like, as you get older?
I think I've grown more patient because of my kids being so young.
Yeah,
right?
So my kids, like, that definitely happens. Like, you're definitely more patient in general because of your kids. But then, like, little annoyances can kind of get on your nerves and I feel like that's also a product of having kids, because it's like your life becomes really tightly wound.
True.
You know?
I would say, though, I'm generally proud of the way that I've aged. Now, do I yell at people for speeding in my neighborhood? Yes. And do I remember being the kid whipping around the neighborhood?
Oh, are you that guy who, like, if I'm going only 5 miles over the speed limit,
yep,
and I drive by you, and then I look in my rearview mirror, you've got like this dirty look on your face.
No, I've got the full hands. I'm like slow down. Like, I'm like Mahomes during a home game when the crowd is being too loud. That's me. But I will say this. I had a neighbor who was doing a Ding Dong Ditch YouTube show. And I was on it, and I thought, like, here's my moment where I could go. I saw two paths, right? I remember ding dong ditching people all the time. I remember ding dong ditching someone, and I think that ended up being kind of a straw that broke the camel's back in terms of that person, sort of a local power player, not selecting me for Legion baseball. So I remember, like, the one way you could handle it, right? And then I think that the other way you could handle it was, like, I was really cool about it. Like, I had, like, a good line. And I remember seeing myself on the YouTube show, and I was like, that's pretty badass, you know? So I'm trying to toe that line, but I do feel it. Like, right? Like, I'm telling cars to slow down. I am unfairly...
Telling cars to slow down is definitely an old man move, though.
Telling cars to slow down is an old man move. I'm, like, unfairly critical of grass length. You know, like, if someone hasn't...
You judge people based on their lawn?
Mowed it. I mean, my lawn looks awful, but it's contained, right? Like, I've tried to grow grass in every possible way, and I can't do it. Like, there's giant splotches in my front yard of just dirt. And then my kids run around and they roll in it, so it's not... I don't care. But length to me is the indicator of concern, right? Okay. You just keep it tight, you know? And so that I feel, but I'm like, God, in a couple of years, am I going to be yelling at kids at Costco? Maybe. I don't know.
You might be. I mean, the judgment of other people based on the length of their grass could well be the gateway to yelling at a 3-year-old at Costco.
I knew I was getting old the other day when I was at the used bookstore and there was like an autobiography of George W. Bush. And I was like, that might be nice to have in the house. And I'm like, why? Like, and I'm not making a political statement. It's just like, he was like 5 presidents ago. Like, I'm not really interested in, but I'm just like, it would be nice to have in the house. Why would that be nice to have in the house? You know,
was he 5 presidents ago?
Biden.
I hope Trump, not, because he was elected when Obama, I was in college.
He was four presidents ago, right? Trump, Biden, Obama.
Yeah. Yeah, Bush, that's right. Jeez.
Bush too. Yeah. We're getting there, buddy. We're getting there. Mm-hmm. All right. So let's boogie on this. And so what we have to do for Editor Mitch, and he asked very nicely, he gave us the format, and Albert and I are just notoriously late, and we are the bane of his existence. And, you know, and he's a sweet guy. And so I think that's just kind of how it goes. But Mitch, if you're listening, we love you. So what we have to do is we have to pick the seven playoff teams in each division, and then we got to do the Super Bowl, Super Bowl MVP, and then awards. And we'll go through this quick. So let me ask you, just because I have, like I said, I predicted all 272 games. I have my playoff teams.
Okay.
So do you want me to run them by you?
Do you want me to go through AFC really quick, about who my division winners would be? Again, this is off the cuff.
Yes, I want you to do it, and then I'll do it. So go ahead.
I'll take the Jets in the East. I'll take the Bengals in the North. I'll take the Texans in the South and the Chiefs in the West.
Okay.
What do you got?
And then who are your wild card teams?
I will take Bills, Ravens, Dolphins. That's so chalk though, isn't it?
No. So here's mine, right? And I thought that too. And I'm a little bit worried about how chalky it is, right? I have Bengals as the one seed, Chiefs as the two seed, Bills as the three seed, winning the AFC East, Texans at the four seed. But I want to make a note here: Texans and Colts both finished at 9-8.
Right? Oh, okay.
So the Texans won the
tiebreaker,
and then the wild cards: Steelers, Ravens, Browns. So I literally have the entire AFC North making the playoffs, which I think would be like a fun oddity.
That's interesting.
But it is bound to happen at some point.
I put two AFC East teams in, or three AFC East teams in. Everybody but the Patriots.
I wanted the Jets to beat the Dolphins in the season finale and catapult themselves into the playoffs, but the way that I had it, it just didn't happen. So I had the Jets finishing at 9-8.
So,
but just not good.
So, like, I think my three wild card teams, what I think is interesting is I think there are three teams that have a lot of people to replace, right? Like, so the Ravens is on the offensive line with Morgan Moses, John Simpson, and Kevin Zeitler gone. So 60% of their offensive line they're replacing. They're also replacing on defense Patrick Queen. Now, they think Trenton Simpson could wind up being an upgrade. They're replacing Clowney on the edge. So the Ravens have a lot of work to do. The Bills do too, with the two safeties who have been sort of the bedrocks for them for the Sean McDermott era. Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer are both gone. Tre'Davious White's gone. Stephon Diggs is gone. Mitch Morse is gone. You know, and then the Dolphins sort of chose offense over defense this offseason, in letting Jerome Baker go and Christian Wilkins and Xavien Howard, and they've got a new defensive coordinator. So those three teams, I think what separates them, what keeps those three teams from winning their divisions and being like putting them a notch below, is I think those are teams that are like really good programs that I think it could take a little while for it to all come together for them, and maybe all three of those teams get hot and get in. You know, down the stretch.
One of my most proud moments, it was a head turner. I had a fantasy football draft over the weekend, and everyone was in the living room, and it was like round 15, and I knew that I had the Steelers in the playoffs, and I know that I like Pittsburgh a little bit, and I picked, to audible gasps, Justin Fields in like the 14th round, and everyone was like, oh, and
I think Fields might win the job.
Yeah, baby! Come on! So that's an Ohio State guy saying it.
I got a nugget in my takeaways that their offensive staff did a deep dive on Fields in the offseason and basically determined he lost his confidence in Chicago. And in like studying the tape on him, they thought we should go back to the footwork that he used at Ohio State. And that'll get him to a point where he's more comfortable and ostensibly playing more confident. And the other night, I guess it really showed up in a game. Like, it's shown up in practice. The other night, I don't know if you saw a couple of throws he made the other night, but the other night, it really showed up in a game. Start to finish. Now, it was a short appearance, but start to finish for the first time. And I just think, I'll just say this, I think he's got support in that building. Like, and I think one thing that could wind up making Russell the starter is that you can go from Russell to Fields in week three, in week four, in week five. If you start Fields, you have to cut Russell.
So there's this weird thing where I feel like Russell Wilson is almost like the kind of guy that if he's hot and he's confident, he's good. Mm-hmm. And you roll with it. If he's not, and I don't think I'm saying anything that's like necessarily like out of school or inaccurate, but like I do think that there are probably questions from some of his former teammates in yeah. terms of how he's handled these situations in the past, adversity, generally speaking, right? Mm-hmm. Do you think that's fair?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
And then if you're someone like Tomlin, who's so plugged in to the tenor of the locker room, mm-hmm. there is kind of a, like, let's say he's not playing well the first 2 weeks of the season, Russell Wilson. There is an undoubtable tailwind that comes with benching someone like that and then putting in the guy that everybody wanted to play all along. Like,
And so here's the other thing that's interesting about that, Connor, is like you bring up the personality fit. Justin Fields is like, for all of his faults as a quarterback, is yes, sir, no, sir, like militaristic, like just kind of like a down the line, like a real dude, like a guy that, like, from a personality standpoint, screams franchise quarterback. Now, again, like, doesn't see it fast enough. There's a ton of issues with how he played in Pittsburgh, which is why he's not there anymore. But just, like, his personality and his makeup is very different than Russell's. And it does make you wonder how much of a factor that is, too. You know, like, and did you consciously, if you're the Steelers, put Fields in the room to give yourself that contrast and see how Russell reacts to it? I just think the dynamic there is really, really interesting, because not to say they don't get along, like, you know, but they're very, very different personalities.
That's why we have the Steelers at 10-7, sneaking into the back end of the playoffs.
With Justin Fields as the quarterback?
For like 10 of the games.
Yeah. So that's like, it's easy to forget, like, as stable as the Steelers have been, like, Mike Tomlin has had no problem yo-yoing quarterbacks the last couple of years.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I think, if I remember right, Kenny Pickett, when he was a rookie, like, took third-team reps all of camp. Like, the competition was between Mitch Trubisky and Mason Rudolph, and Pickett was the starter, what, week four?
Yeah.
Right. And then last year, same sort of thing happened when they pulled Pickett. So he's shown a willingness to do that, and I don't know. I mean, I could understand the logic if it's like we want to at least give it a run with Russell because he's got the experience. And, you know, going with Russell at least gives us the flexibility to pull the ripcord. Whereas if you go with Justin to begin with, I don't know if you can even keep Russell on the roster.
I agree with that. And as former Jets GM Mike Tannenbaum said on ESPN on Get Up, the Vikings should sign him because he's better than Sam Darnold. I don't know about that, Mike. That's a hard disagree on my end, but
I kind of like Sam Darnold.
I do too.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
All right, NFC. Yep. I'm going to give you mine. Okay. So I have Lions, shocker, Rams, Eagles, Bucks. Those are the division winners. So, God, I mean, kind of boring, but the Rams clipping the 49ers, I feel like, is sexy and a little bit exciting.
Yeah.
Packers as my first wild card, but Packers at 12-5.
Yeah, I love the Packers, too. I'm with you. I'm on that train with you.
12-5 and a legitimate threat to go to the Super Bowl. The Niners is my sixth seed, okay, at 10-7. Okay. And then at 7, the Bears edging out the Cowboys and Cardinals.
Ooh, I like that.
Edging out the Cowboys and Cardinals. I think that's important. Cardinals. I want people to hear me on this. Cardinals. I'm going to do a good morning football, all right? Ready? Guys, no one's talking enough about the Cardinals, all right? Clip this. Put this on social media. No one's talking enough about the Cardinals. They got a lot of star players, and if the Cardinals win, I'm the Cardinals guy. I'm the Cardinals guy. Put me on board for that.
I don't mind. I don't mind it. Like I actually think that both the Cardinals and the Seahawks have a chance. Like I think that division is better, deeper than people think. Obviously, we all know what the Niners and the Rams are, but it's with the Cardinals. It's the first and second year players. And with the Seahawks, it's the second and third year players, where they have these big draft classes with a ton of potential in them, you know?
Cardinals also have a massive part of their schedule where it's like a 9-game stretch where most of those games are winnable. And it's like the middle to the back end of the schedule.
So, and like, if you think about where the Cardinals are now, right? So when I was there, so Michael Wilson's kind of an underrated name there. Receiver they drafted, I think he was the third rounder in 2023, had a really solid rookie year. Like, they think he can be like an Adam Thielen type player for them, right? Put that opposite Marvin Harrison now. You've got Kyler Murray playing better. You drafted Trey Benson out of Florida State. You've got Paris Johnson at left tackle. Then on defense, they think Max Melton's going to be a really good player for them at corner. Darius Robinson, your first round pick. Now he got hurt, but he's just kind of getting to the point where there are a lot of pieces. I feel the same way about the Seahawks, by the way. I think the Seahawks, I mean, go down the guys they drafted in 22 and 23, the two Russell Wilson drafts, you know, like with all the capital they got from the trade. It's like Devin Witherspoon, Jackson Smith and Jigba, Arik Woolen, Charles Cross, Abe Lucas, Kenneth Walker, Boye Mafe. It's like, I think that has a chance to be the foundation of something very real for Mike McDonald. So I think both those teams are going to be a tough out for the Niners and the Rams. And if that division is as deep as we think it is, it seems like you're on the same page as me with that. Like, then does that mean whoever wins that division maybe takes a body blow or two that knocks them down in the seeding?
Could. Like, that's why, I mean, yeah, that's why I think that I have the 49ers at 10-7. I mean, this team could endure a lot of attrition. I mean, who knows? They could trade Brandon Ayuk while we're on this podcast. I don't think they will.
You have the Cowboys out.
And I have the Cowboys out.
Okay.
Because I'm rooting for chaos. What about you?
So I'm going to go, I just jotted it down, highly scientific method while you were talking. I was writing it into my screen, so I don't make the mistake of saying one thing here and then handing something over to Mitch that looks different. So I got Eagles in the East, Lions in the North, Bucks in the South, Niners in the West. I'm struggling with the seventh team, though. I got the Packers and Rams as wild cards.
Okay.
Maybe we can workshop this one. I'm having trouble deciding between Dallas. I jumped on the Giants bandwagon earlier in the offseason. I just don't know. And they're so young on the back end of their defense, and they need some things to fall in place on the offensive line. Like, that could happen, but I don't know if I want to count on so many things happening at once. So I think they're going to be competitive, but I don't know that they'll be in. Is it crazy to put the Vikings in there?
No. No, she, I mean, my concern with the Vikings has always been,
but then like, that's three North teams.
Yeah, I've the entire AFC North.
Yeah.
Okay, my concern
I thought about
is
the Falcons too, but I don't know.
And whatever, someone's
going to
clip this.
I'm going to throw the Falcons in there. Why not? I'll throw the Falcons in there.
Falcons. Because someone's going to clip this and be like, haha, you doubted all these people. But like, you look at the Vikings defense 1 through 11.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just don't know. Like, Dallas Turner could end up being a star. Okay. If
they need
Grenard the case,
to come through as like kind of the de facto replacement for Danielle Hunter. Their corner situation, obviously, they telegraphed, you know, how they feel about where they're at there by
Stephon
going inside
Stephon
Gilmore, right?
Shaq Griffin and Byron Murphy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, with some other, I mean, there's other good players on this roster. I'm not saying that, but, mm-hmm. you know, but I think that there's a lot of good, it's almost like, it's weird, right? It's like with Brian Flores there, it's like a Patriots defense, right? There's not this singular dominant star, but if everybody played a role, you could see the way that it works. Like, Camus Grugier-Hill is there, Blake Cashman, mm-hmm. Ivan Pace, Andrew Van Ginkle, one of my all-time favorites.
Well, like, Van Ginkle, yeah.
The edge setter, the gink. But
just,
is that enough to just
makes plays?
Yeah, he does. But
he
is that enough to
he makes so many splash plays. Like, I would think like his per capita like splash plays, like for the amount of time he spends in the field, has to be up there among players at his position. Lots of splash plays.
Yeah. So I mean, listen, there's gonna be like, that was my problem with like last year, right? I had the Patriots in the playoffs. Everyone's like, you're an idiot, and I was, right? But there were some surprises, like the Texans, right? Like there's gonna be some team that is like, whoa, you know, and mm-hmm. comes in. And I was worried that mine was too chalky. And so I do like the fact that the Vikings are even in the conversation there. That's why I tried to bring the Bears into the fold a little bit on mine, mm-hmm. just to be like, there's going to be that one team that just kind of gets in there, you know?
Yep. Yeah.
All right. I have opened the betting odds for mm-hmm. all of this. Oh, wait, we don't have to go through the whole playoffs, but give me your Super Bowl and then we'll move on.
I'm going to do the same Super Bowl I did last year, which I was half right last year. The other half was affected by injury, but I'm going to reverse it. Last year, I had the Bengals beating the Niners. This year, I'm going to have the Niners beating the Bengals.
Okay.
Rematch of Super Bowl 23, and I believe it's Super Bowl 16, right? So this will be the third time they've met in a Super Bowl. Very memorable for me. Like, I think it was right around my 9th birthday. Would have been like January of 89, the Joe Montana game. When Joe Montana, the John Candy is in the stands.
Sure.
You were probably like an infant then.
What year was that?
Would have been January of 89.
I was 6 months old. Yeah.
Yeah. So I remember it. But but yeah, like that was one of those, you know, like for me as like a football fan, like I'll never forget like the inevitability of Joe Montana being able to lead the Niners down the field in that spot. Like that was like kind of one of those, like it's like it became with Brady, you know, when he has the ball at the end of the game, you just figure something's going to happen. So,
right.
So yeah, I'm going to take the Niners over the Bengals just because I do think, you know, one of the reasons I picked the Falcons to make the playoffs was because of I think, you know, doing what they did the last couple of weeks create a real sense of urgency, trading for Matthew Judon, who's a, you know, top 10, 15, something like that, pass rusher in the NFL, and then signing Justin Simmons when they already have Jesse Bates back there at safety. Like, there's a real sense of urgency, which I, you know, and obviously the Kirk Cousins contract illustrates that too. I think you take the sense of urgency to another level with the Niners, which can go both ways, but I think they're going to respond. And it's a group of players that, while I think the Niners are going to be good for the foreseeable future because they're just that sort of franchise, you know, now, and they've got a great coach and a great front office and all of that. I just think that like this group of players knows that this might be like collectively their last shot at it. their salary cap is going to be a mess in the next year or two because of what all of these contracts have done and pushing money off. And so I think there's going to be there's a real sense of urgency among that group of players that maybe this is their last shot at it as the team is presently constituted. And I think they wind up getting over the hump.
I like it. I have, so I think in the magazine, I might have Lions Bengals. I think I'm going to
have that's tricky. Cause you got to pick that so far ahead of time, right?
And now I've kind of like, you know, and I know it's like unoriginal and silly, but like I'm going Lions Chiefs, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, okay. I'm just, you know, like I think that how many times during the Tom Brady era did all of us, you know, we're like, watch out for this team finally. And it's like, no, man, like they have the best player in the world. And so he's probably going to be in the Super Bowls, right? So but I'm steadfast on my commitment to the Detroit Lions, not just because they looked really cool on the cover of our football preview.
Yeah. I mean, the Chiefs are basically what the Patriots were now, you know, right. Like where it's like, they're going to be in the AFC championship game in all likelihood, right? Like it's like every year they're going to be in the AFC championship game. Some years they'll win it, other years they won't, you know, which is like, that's how the Patriots accumulated all the Super Bowls is like, they were just there every year. They were like on that level every single year. And sometimes the ball's going to bounce your way. Other times it's not. But I think it was, what, 8 years in a row they won the AFC title game, right?
Yeah.
From 11 to 18, right? So, yeah. And they win 3 championships and go to 4 Super Bowls. Or 5 Super Bowls in that stretch.
It's a great time to save big on everything for your next project at Menards. Get free estimates fast on new energy-efficient windows from Jeld-Wen. Choose from vinyl or wood windows and customize the perfect size and unique features for your home. Save big on all Jeld-Wen windows today. View our entire selection of Jeld-Wen windows on Menards.com. Plus, the weekly flyer for other great deals happening now. Save big money.
Let's run quickly down our Snap Award picks. Just first thing that comes to your mind, give me regular season MVP.
Joe Burrow.
I'm going Josh Allen. What do you think about that?
Okay, so I'm the reason I'm going Joe Burrow is because I do think like he's been through a lot, of course. You know, he told me that like at the end last year, in the middle of the you know, like when they played the Texans and the Ravens, he got hurt in the Ravens game. His last couple of games, he said he thought he was playing the best football of his career. And I think so much of Joe's game is sustainable because it's not completely dependent on his physical ability.
Yep.
I do think like he was able to, like, I think the last 6-7 months sounded like it was really scary for him, you know. And I think sometimes we underrate like the effect that this stuff has on quarterbacks. Like Josh Allen had an elbow a couple of years ago. Stafford's had the elbow. He had a thumb, like where like Stafford told me earlier in camp, he thought his career was over when he hurt his thumb last year. There's like a fragility to that, like when it's your wrist, your thumb, your elbow, whatever it is, anything to do with your moneymaker. There's like, you know, there's like a scariness to that for a quarterback. And he went through that, and I think, you know, I think going through that's going to make him better. I think having dealt with the injuries is going to have a long-term effect on him the same way tearing the ACL had the effect on Brady, where it's like it makes you value it more, it makes you take care of yourself a little bit more, and I think he's going to have a monster year. And they're sort of in the same spot too, Connor, if you think about it. You know what I mean? Like I mentioned the Niners having that group of players that is – That one group of players that, like, you know, the team will probably keep winning, but the team will probably keep winning, but that one group of players might not get that many more shots at it. It's sort of the same for the Bengals. You know, T. Higgins probably gone after this year. There's some moving parts on their offensive line.
Yeah.
Defensively, how long are Trey Hendrickson and Sam Hubbard together at the end positions? You know, like, there's definitely this is our last best shot with this group, and I think Burrow's going to make the most of it. I think Burrow's going to have a monster year.
I like it. I like Josh Allen for no other reason than I really wanted him on my fantasy team this year. I think he's going to crush it. And
well, that's the thing, is he's like a fun guy to like. I always think about that, like too, like when I'm drafting fantasy, it's like I kind of want like
just guys I want to root for.
Guys that'll like be like it'll be exciting to have them on your team. You know what I mean?
This is love, right? So my wife and I were on our way home from the amusement park yesterday with the kids. We didn't just leave them at home and go by ourselves. We took the kids to the amusement park, and we had a family.
What park
fantasy.
Was it?
The Land of Make Believe in Hope, New Jersey. Okay. Wild. Wild in the sense that, so they have like a Halloween area, they have a Christmas area, they have a water park, they have rides, little kid rides, like boardwalk rides, basically, right? But there's a barn, Christmas barn. And upstairs, you can go visit Santa Claus, right? So they have a Santa Claus that's there all summer in a poorly insulated barn, in the attic of a poorly insulated barn. And this guy is just roasting up there. And
oh, that sucks.
And I'm just saying, you're not getting the A-team in terms of Santa. You know, you're not getting your, you know, you're not getting your first round number
you're getting,
one overall Santa.
You're getting, you know, bad Santa.
You're getting a guy, you're getting a real grinder, you know? Mm-hmm. And we went up there, and the younger of the two kids had a hard time with the visuals, like just, and made us kind of question it. But anyway,
there needs to be like an explanation. was there like a cover story to why Santa is there?
Yeah. So we said that some, like, Santa obviously doesn't have a lot of work to do right now. You know, his season kind of picks up a little bit closer to Christmas, but he just loves seeing kids. Everybody. And so like sometimes he'll go to these special things and that's why we took them. So, yeah,
I think we might be the tail end of Santa with my oldest. I think that's going to be an interesting conversation to have this year. And then trying to prevent him from saying anything to his siblings. I know. Not that anything is or isn't real, but like it's going to be like we could have some challenges ahead of us this year.
My sister was younger than me and became skeptical first.
Oh, really?
And so, and
how,
I kind of.
How much younger?
She is 2 years younger than me.
Okay.
And when she started voicing the skepticism, I kind of felt that the advantage play there was to double down on my belief, even though I knew, like I pretty much knew, you know, but I thought that the real power move there was going to be to double down on the belief. And then, so, cause my parents seemed to think that was like a cool thing. And then I was like, maybe I get an extra present out of this. I don't know. I don't know what could happen, you know,
just trying to
maximize your,
I like it though. Like that would like that you would be rewarded for bucking the rising tide in your house.
But anyway, so my Josh Allen story is this: we were on our way home from the amusement park, and so my wife had both phones because we were doing a fantasy family football draft with like my side of the family, and so she's like, "Who do you want? Who do you want?" And we had picks right next to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it was snake style, so she came up right before me in the second round and said, who should I take? And I wanted Josh Allen the worst way. And I was like, you should take Josh Allen because he's going to be probably the best quarterback in fantasy this year. He's going to be a lot of fun. He's going to run for more touchdowns because Stephon Diggs isn't there, my guess. And that is also the foundation of the belief that I think he's going to put up like some astronomical statistical numbers. And I do think that's going to be good for an MVP. I do think the Bills are going to make the playoffs. So all that factors in well, I think, for Josh Allen. But that was a true declaration of love right there. Give your wife Josh Allen, you know, that's it.
I thought about, we didn't do Super Bowl MVP, right?
Oh shoot. Yeah. Who do you want for Super Bowl MVP?
Give me McCaffrey.
All right. I'm going to do.
I toyed with the idea of making him the league MVP. Now, the one thing that gives you some pause is his position, the mileage and all of that. But he was just so good last year, you know, and, you know, especially if there are some kind of moving parts early in the year, they could be even more reliant on him. As you know, either they're working IUK back in or they're trying to figure out life without IUK, whatever it is, like there are going to be some moving parts for them where they could wind up leaning on McCaffrey early in the year. And I don't know. I would pick him for Super Bowl MVP right now. Who's yours?
My Super Bowl MVP, I have the Lions like winning it. So it would have to be, I mean, it would probably have to be Goff, right? Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't foresee, unless Aiden Hutchinson has like 9 sacks, you know, or it's like one of those really weird.
Right. I thought about Bosa for Super Bowl MVP too, just because he was so good in the Super Bowl 5 years ago. And if I put him in that game against the Bengals and the Bengals have any sort of offensive line issue, which they might, then like Nick Bosa could wind up looming pretty large. See, I'm already breaking down my fictitious matchup.
We get deep into these worlds.
There you go.
Okay. Let's rapid fire these. AP, regular season, defensive player of the year. I am taking TJ Watt.
Okay, I'll take Micah Parsons. And I think Mike Zimmer is going to be really creative with him. I think playing for a contract is always a factor. Guys will never admit to it, but I think the fact that like he's going into his fourth year without a contract, that maybe like a $40 million number could be out there for him. Like, I just think this is like with Zimmer kind of putting a new spin on how you use him. And that's not to say Zimmer's going to do a better job than Quinn, but like when you have a new defensive coordinator coming in with a player like that and teams are guessing at how you're going to use him, I think advantage Micah Parsons. You know what I mean? Like, I think they're gonna be creative in the way they use him. And I think he's going to have a massive year.
I think just the reason I went with Watt is because I think that he's a prolific sack artist and now he's going to be playing with a lead more often than, I mean, last year, their starting quarterback threw 7 touchdowns. Yep. So think about that. AP defensive rookie of the year. I mean, this one's hard. I mean,
this is really hard.
I kind of thought like Jared Verse, you know,
yeah,
like
that just one's because not bad.
Like, how do you accumulate? Like, my guess is it'll probably end up being like, it could be like a year where like a third round, like a corner taken in the second or the third round, like someone like Ennis Rakestra or something like that has like 5 picks. You know what I mean? Like something like that. But I, you know, Jared Verse, it's a creative defense. They're gonna be playing with a lead a lot. So, you know, maybe he puts up some big numbers there.
Rakestra is like interesting because I think, I don't know, like I just think like he, when I was at camp, like they wouldn't stop talking about how he's always around the ball and taking the ball away and everything else. And these are statistical awards. That's one reason why I think like Byron Murphy might wind up being the best defensive rookie, but
right,
as an interior defensive lineman, you're going to have trouble as a rookie putting up numbers. Like, I just don't think, like, he's going to be playing like the Justin Matabuke role in like the Raven style defense that Mike McDonald's going to bring to Seattle. I just have a hard time seeing that. Like, I can see him playing really well and being the best guy, like if you ask like coaches around the league or whatever, but what does that equate to? 6 sacks? And is that enough to win it? No. So I'm going to go with Leatu Latu, who has looked really good in the preseason, who's a relentless pass rusher. There's going to be some opportunity for him because they've had some injuries on the defensive line. Samson Ekibom's out for the year. So I think like Latu, and again, this is like one of those health permitting things, because the reason like that he even slipped a little bit in the draft was because of his neck. Best pure pass rusher in the draft, aggressive scheme, simple. So they're going to get him playing upfield. I could see him having like a dozen sacks and winning defensive rookie of the year.
I like that one too. I mean, I have no problem with that one. I think the Colts are going to be fiery on defense.
Plus, he has DeForest Buckner to take double teams away from him, which I think is important too.
Exactly. No, I like that pick a lot. Offensive rookie of the year. I mean,
This is a tough one.
It is, but I have the Bears going to the playoffs. If the Bears go to the playoffs, it has to be Caleb Williams.
It's Caleb, yeah.
It has to be. And now, I do think that if we're really thinking about this, I think it probably has the potential to be a Andrew Luck RG3 year.
Yes. Yeah, I agree.
You know what I'm saying? Yep. Where like the Colts were good, but RG3 was statistically superior. and got away with the award. So maybe Caleb Williams is more efficient and gets the Bears to the playoffs, but Jaden Daniels, you know, scores 35 combined touchdowns. You know what I mean? Like, that's my only other scenario, but I think I have to go Caleb Williams because I have the Bears going to the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree. And I've gone back and forth because I think Jaden Daniels is going to be really good as a rookie, yes, right?
Absolutely.
And I think Bo Nix is going to play well. Like, I think Bo Nix is going to, like, I think the question with Bo Nix to me isn't what he's going to look like in year one. It's like what he's going to look like in year four when it gets time to pay him. You know what I mean? Like, I think he's going to be good, as he should be. Like, you'd be concerned if a guy with 61 college starts didn't look pretty good right away. So he should look good right away. I know what the Commanders think of Jaden Daniels. I know how good he's been in camp. I am, like, there's a lot of, like, my instinct is to pick him because I know they're going to use him in the run game and he's going to have a lot of splash plays. And there's just, I mean, and the team he's playing for, he has a chance to make them exciting and all of that. The reason I'm going to pick Caleb over him is because of what's around Caleb.
Yep.
And I just think that's the difference. You know, like I look at, like, offensively, the Commanders have a real issue at tackle. They don't have a lot for him to throw to outside of Terry McLaurin. You know, the young tight end Bensonot from Kansas State's got a chance to be okay, I think, too. I think they'll run the ball okay. Like, I think they'll have a pretty good running game, in part because Jaden's going to be part of it. But, like, what Caleb's got around him in Chicago is on a different level from all of that. You know, to have Keenan Allen and DJ Moore and Roma Dunze and Cole Kmet and DeAndre Swift and, you know, an offensive line that they've poured resources into, it's hard for me to see a scenario where the Bears aren't at least a right around 500, which would be a big step for them. And in that scenario, Caleb plays really well and I think wins Rookie of the Year.
Comeback player of the year is spicy this year. Ooh. Aaron Rodgers, Anthony Richardson, Joe Burrow, Nick Chubb, Kirk Cousins, Daniel Jones. I'm going with Burrow, Albert, for reasons like you said. I mean, I couldn't shoehorn him into the MVP, even though I kind of liked that idea. I couldn't quite get there to shoehorn him into the Super Bowl, but I think this is a sweet spot where Burrow is obviously going to be phenomenal. He was injured last year. He fits the bill. I think statistically a better season than Aaron Rodgers. So I like Burrow. Now you have him, you know, in the mix for some other stuff here. So I don't know if that takes that away.
Yeah, I mean, like, one thing I hate about this award is like how sort of vague it is. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, coming
they have
back
kind
from,
of narrowed the parameters.
It's like
bit.
Coming back from what? You know what I mean? Like, so it's like,
do you, I always like when how, it's coming back from being bad.
Yeah, coming back from sucking.
Being shitty. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, that's what's always weird about this one is that, is it how well you play or is it what you came back from? I'll give it to Aaron Rodgers just because I think he's going to play really well. Same premise as Caleb. I think he's got a really good team around him. The offensive line appears to be fixed. And, you know, coming back from an Achilles at 40, I think is a feat. It's not what it used to be, but it's still a feat, you know? And the fact that he's in New York, and I think what happens with voters, you know, it's like the same thing as, like, you don't see the MVP also win Offensive Player of the Year. And that's why Offensive Player of the Year, which we forgot to do, by the way, has sort of unofficially become a like a non-quarterback award. I sort of think it would be the same thing where it's like, if I'm going to give him the MVP, if I'm going to give Burrow the MVP, then the Comeback Player of the Year probably goes to somebody else. That somebody else, I will say, will be Aaron Rodgers.
Okay. I think Aaron Rodgers will be Secretary of State by then, but we differ on that. So, Offensive Player of the Year, I got Bijan. I just think Todd Gurley vibes. I was faced with the tough Bijan Tyreek Hill pick in fantasy over the weekend.
Yeah,
and I reasoned that Rams coaching tree just does such a good job, and if they have a dynamic running back like that, they're going to be able to get him out into space. They're going to be able to make him work. Kirk Cousins going to force the defense to play back a little bit. So I got Bijan with the understanding that, like, I almost think Tyreek Hill suffers from, like, Bill Belichick disease, and that, like, he's been so good for so long that it stops stunning us and we've missed the opportunity to award him for some of those performances already. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I, this is a tough one because I think I'm going to go with McCaffrey, which would be back to back, I think. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Just cause I think the Niners are really going to rely on him, but I'm tempted on Ja'Marr Chase, who again, there's that dynamic playing for a contract. If he doesn't get something done over the next 10 days, which he could, my dark horse, a guy who I think is actually like a, would be a pretty interesting, you can call me a homer for this one if you want, but like I think would be an interesting name is Garrett Wilson.
Okay.
Who I think could have like a really, really big year with the Jets. And I think was set up for a big year last year. And I just sort of look at like what they've got, what else they have at receiver, and he's so clearly the number one there, you know? I don't know. Like, and I think like he does have a rapport with Rodgers to the point where they are able to get after each other. People made a lot out of that stuff, but that's like, I think that's a sign of like the mutual respect between the two of them that they're able to do that. That's how they can work through problems, you know? So, you know, I tempted on Chase and tempted on Wilson, but I'm going to go with Christian McCaffrey, which is a very chalk pick.
Coach of the year is tough because,
yeah,
like, If the Lions win 12 games and go to the Super Bowl, like Dan Campbell didn't win it last year, right?
Yeah.
And last year was the year for Dan Campbell to win it. And then now if he wins 12 games again and goes to the conference championship game again, people aren't impressed, even though like he has never really been thoroughly rewarded for the totality of that rebuild. And so I think in my mind, I want to pick Dan Campbell. But I can't because what do we always do? We're always, you know, we're more distracted by, you know, the narrative aspect of it. And in our minds, it's like, oh, of course, like the Lions are supposed to be good. And so they're good. So I think that with that in mind, it's not because I believe it, but because I think this is how people are going to vote. I think we have Jim Harbaugh on one side. You know, I think that's pretty obvious. I think we have Matt Eberflus. And let's say, or maybe Raheem Morris, right? Because one of these teams is going to go from mediocre to really good.
Raheem's an interesting one. I think the other thing that's hard too is sometimes these things are based on injuries that happen in season.
Right.
And a team will make the playoffs with like five or six injuries, and it's impossible to forecast that.
Like, no disrespect to Kevin Stefanski at all, right? It was a good coaching job, but was he really the coach of the year last year? Like,
yeah,
really and truly the coach of the year. I don't know.
He did a really good job. I don't know.
He did a really good job, but Deshaun Watson getting hurt and then you having Joe Flacco, that's part of the deal, right? And so is that more impressive to me? Like, I think he deserved it the first time.
Yeah.
Right? But I think last year was the year that it should have gone to Dan Campbell as a recognition for all the work that went into how this all happened.
Yeah, I like the idea of picking Dan Campbell, but I don't think he's going to get it because the expectations are too high. So
right. So minus a Super Bowl win, you will have failed.
Here's another one. Here's another guy who deserves it, who hasn't gotten it yet, who has probably deserved it for a few years. Matt LaFleur.
Has he ever won a Coach of the Year?
Nope.
What?
Nope.
Oh, you're so right. So
here's a guy who came in, basically retrofitted his offense for Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers wins two MVPs with him. He successfully manages like a broken relationship between Rodgers and the front office, right?
Oh, yeah.
And then he basically develops Jordan Love over a three-year period. And last year had Jordan Love ready to go where like Love went through like that month and a half lull and came out of it. And I just think he's done such a fantastic job there. And his winning percentage, if you look at it, like his winning percentage is like up there in NFL history. You know what I mean? Way up there. And now he's done it post Rodgers. And I just think if Love has a huge season and they, like you said, win 12 games, why shouldn't he win Coach of the Year?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that would be one to me where it's like, if there's not an obvious candidate, you should give it to someone like that. If there's not somebody who like engineered some sort of like Lazarus, like turnaround, you know what I mean? Like then you should give it to a guy who's deserved it for a while, and I think LaFleur's deserved it for a while, but Campbell has too, so he wouldn't be a bad choice either.
Even a literal Lazarus-like turnaround doesn't win you the awards anymore. Albert DeMar Hamlin got boxed out by Joe Flacco last year.
Yeah, that's true.
Near
that's
Lazarus, true. Right?
I mean, does Mike McDaniel deserve a look if they make the playoffs?
You got to win a game.
That doesn't play into the award.
I know. Yeah. But like for me, it's like it's got to be
after he does that.
It's got to be after he does that. Okay. That's for me. I mean, granted, what he's done is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. No taking away from that. But I just think that that's part of the deal. All right, Albert, we got through this, you know?
Did we do offensive rookie? Oh, yeah, we did offensive rookie. I'm brain dead great. Right now. Sorry. Yeah, we got everything, I think.
I think we did awesome.
I think we did good show. Start with Costco.
I think we're going to fire some people up this week.
And with Matt LaFleur, Mike McDaniel, Dan Campbell talk. Like it.
Costco. We hit it all. We hit Barn Santa. We hit we hit Justin Fields. Mm-hmm. I thought that was spicy. Everyone go read Albert's column, by the way. I have it. I hit the retweet button on it so you can find it on my Twitter or Albert's because Albert's got a lot more people on his Twitter than mine. so you can find it there. And yeah, we're going to. Yeah. So
Dan Campbell would not yell at a three-year-old at Costco.
No, I think Dan would have been in my corner. Mm-hmm. And Dan, see, this is why, like, if I was
you or
Dan,
Craig that had, like, the 7-Eleven story from your the cover story?
Yeah.
So, like, how did that happen again? You got to tell this because this was like.
Okay. So I'll end with this.
So you go into the 7-Eleven, right? Like in Michigan?
So on newsstands right now. Is our NFL preview issue, which you should buy, okay? And the cover story is on the Detroit Lions and also the rebuilding of the city simultaneous to the Lions. I wrote it with Greg Bishop. On our last day in Detroit, we were driving around, and I said to Greg had to run an errand, so I dropped him off, and I said, while you're gone, I'm just going to go to a couple places where Dan Campbell might buy his chewing tobacco. Just a hunch. I don't know what's going to happen. Whatever. And so I walked into the store and I said to one of the women behind the counter, excuse me, does the coach of the Lions come here? I was like, I know that's a really weird question. And she's like, what? I don't know. And then so I pull up the picture on Google Images and I show it to her. She goes, oh my God. And she taps her. I think it was her mom, but might have just been another worker. But it seemed like they had kind of like a mother-daughter thing going on. And she's like, look. And the woman behind the counter, really nice lady. And you could tell like English was like her second language. So she's just trying to explain this to me, but very excited. And basically was like, I didn't know who that was, but it's good to know that that's the person who has been coming in here and like buying Slurpees for everybody, like when he walks in. And so that was like a very cool Campbell story. So how do you not like Dan Campbell after that? How do you not make him like Dan Campbell?
There are very few things not to like about Dan Campbell right now.
Boy, I'll tell you what. If I'm just throwing it out there, this is an apolitical statement to end the show, but we are, 73 days from the presidential election. If Dan Campbell... I'm going to be careful with the way I word this. If Dan Campbell was a platformless, no-take candidate from either party, so the Democrats or the Republicans say that Dan Campbell is running, we don't know anything about any of his personal beliefs. We don't know anything about his thoughts on any of the hot-button issues, right? All we have to go off of. Like, let's say the Democrats the last second replaced Joe Biden like a week before the election with Dan Campbell.
Mm-hmm.
He wins in a landslide, right? Like, it's not even close. Or if the Republicans had to do the same thing, if they had to replace Trump with Dan Campbell at the last minute, he's probably one of the most likable people.
Isn't
in America.
Trump like the example that it would work with Campbell because, right? I don't know. We're going to go down a road we shouldn't go down if we start talking about that stuff. But yeah, I mean, like, who does running mate be? Ben Johnson?
What if you did, like, I mean, if you did a Dan Campbell, Aaron Glenn ticket, and then you have both
Ben
sides
Johnson,
of the ball
Ben
covered.
Johnson, Ben Johnson would be the Cheney to his Bush.
Ben Johnson's behind the scenes, yeah. So if you had offense and defense covered on both sides of the ball.
Yeah.
Because let's be real, the Democrats right now are running a vice presidential candidate, really with only experience on the defensive side of the ball. Tim Walz was a defensive coordinator. So
that's right. Yeah.
How much does he know about offense? I don't know. You know?
That's a fair point. Yeah.
Can he...
We're giving everybody a lot to chew on.
Can he design a game plan? If you're down five with a minute left, that would be my question. If Tim Walz ever wants to come on the podcast, I'm going to ask him about that. But
I think we better get out of here before we get ourselves in trouble.
Yes, that's it. Hard out. But I don't think we made any sort of.
No. That was a.
I'm just saying Dan Campbell's an immensely popular and likable person.
That was this podcast amicably reaching across the aisle, and you don't know what side of the aisle we're on to begin with. So there you go.
I don't have an aisle.
No, I don't either. I don't like I really
I
hate
love
politics.
My neighbors.
I really me hate too. Politics, but that's just me.
I guess we should stop.
I feel like I'm like sort of the silent majority, which is why Dan Campbell would get votes.
Silent majority stands with Dan Campbell.
Yep.
Right. What we should stop
Campbell
doing
24.
Is stop using the president as the bellwether of, you know what I mean? Because you're like, oh, that guy's so great, so likable, he could be the president, right? Mm-hmm. But like, how many times we're kind of polarized as a country in the fact that like we can't really, you know, decide who we like, and so like instead of president, we should pick like, you know, that guy's so popular, he could what? He could show up on America's Got Talent and win it without really having necessarily a talent, you know?
Yeah, that
like likeable. He's just likable, you know? He's just a likable guy.
He just gets up there and everybody cheers.
Yeah.
No performance necessary.
No. I like it. All right. Albert and I barely made it out of this one by the hair on our chinny chin chins, and hopefully didn't lose a swath of advertisers in the process. Again, totally apolitical. No thoughts. But for Albert, I'm Connor. We are going to... My bold prediction is we're going to enjoy the ever-loving crap out of Labor Day weekend, and then we'll be back on Tuesday or Wednesday. And,
lots of good college football this weekend, too.
Yeah, we're going to see some college football. My goodness. Let's go. All right. See everybody then.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.